Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown. And the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this show, and a well-loved friend, well-respected man, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo is your hometown tire. Check him out at Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're on the story, buddy. That is that was the juggernaut that is the Bears. We saw a lot of the promise we had heard about. I mean, I get it. It was a pretty bad defense that they went against, and we knew they probably need to score 30 points. But they handled their business pretty impressively yesterday at Soldier Field, especially as a reaction to what unfolded in Detroit the week before.
Yeah, I mean, they were embarrassed at Ford Field, and to come back yesterday and get superior play in this contest on both sides of the line of scrimmage, to get improved play from Caleb Williams. It was all the way around. I mean, they were really good on special teams. A lot of people wanted to jump all over Cairo Santos after week one and then kickoff out of bounds in Detroit. He had some fantastic kickoffs yesterday against the most dangerous return man in the league in Kevontae Turpin. So, contributions from all corners of the locker room, and they got a win they badly needed. Now they'll face another team that's struggling in the Raiders, and it's an opportunity to get to 500 headed into the bye week, and then you sort of reset the thing and see where you can go from there.
So, Brad, obviously Ben Johnson had a good day. We can talk about that in his week. Caleb Williams, certainly. But I think that defensively, what Dennis Allen did to adjust to not having three starters was important. And the fact that he played very, I think, more conservative by his standards, he wasn't as aggressive or attacking, spent, I think, probably about 70% of the game in two deep just to be safe. And that allowed his guys like Tyrique Stevenson to be aggressive with guys in front of him, certainly Tremaine Edmonds. This was a good defensive game plan by Dennis Allen.
Well, it was a good plan, and it was really well executed. They
think we may have lost Big Z. We'll
just
reconnect
about to give
with
us a
him.
Trade secrets to what Dennis Allen was doing defensively.
Yeah.
Essentially, but playing it safe and allowing Dak Prescott to check down and everything to the point where his tight end had 13 catches.
He was a willing check down man. All right, we've got Big Z back. Finish your thought, Brad. Sorry about that.
And I think the two running backs combined for 9 catches. So 2/3, 70% of Dak Prescott's completions were to the tight end or running backs, and the vast majority of those were checkdowns. And it might be how the Bears have to play for a while with the injuries in the secondary. They got a huge break, make no mistake about it. CeeDee Lamb, who's, what, a top 3 wide receiver in the National Football League, played 7 snaps before he left with what apparently is a high ankle sprain. No CeeDee Lamb made the execution of that game plan easier, but the Bears still went out and did a really nice job against an offense that hung 40 points on the New York Giants the previous week.
We should let you know this segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for over 100 years, estwing.com. I was really impressed with the kind of twofold offense we saw, which of course was the explosives early, even the gadget play, the flea flicker, and then of course the third quarter when they took over the game with that long 19 play drive. Pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, in the last 25 years, the Bears have had one other drive of 19 yards that came in 2009 after a massive snowstorm had hit Baltimore, and that one ended at the one-yard line. A Jay Cutler fourth and goal pass for Greg Olsen was broken up by Terrell Suggs, so the Bears won 19 plays, had nothing to show for it against the Ravens. They cash in yesterday with the touchdown pass to DJ Moore. And, I mean, the best part about that, beyond the score, of course, is at one point 11 consecutive running plays. Hey, we're going to hand it off.
I think we lost Biggs again.
Oh, boy.
He's making some really good points.
Yeah.
I think we lost Biggs again.
That was not me.
I think you asked him the question. I think both times your questions have resulted in kind of dropping off the
phone. I can no longer speak to
you,
my guy Biggs.
We got to figure that one out. You're just asking him the question that makes him want to drift off into oblivion.
He's so offended. He just slammed the phone down.
You would think it would be me.
We have him now. Biggsy.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
So the 19-play drive, yeah, that leaning on that defense, holding the ball for nearly 10 minutes, that they just imposed their will. And credit to an offensive line that has been under fire, that hasn't run the ball as well as they would like to and probably didn't run it quite as well as they would like to yesterday. But not only did the Cowboys not have a sack yesterday, guys, they had one hit on Caleb Williams. That was it.
So,
listen, I know that Cowboys defense is lacking impact players. I'm aware of that. That's still an impressive statistic.
Brad, the last time the Bears had a wide receiver who had four touchdowns through three games, I believe it was Brandon Marshall in 2014. Roma Dunze has become pretty dangerous. And I think there's still some times when yesterday, Molly and I talked about, got his hands on a ball, good hit, hard hit, and he didn't come down with the catch. Just curious, there seems to be no doubt that he has emerged as the Bears' number one wide receiver. Do you agree? And what is his ceiling? Is he going to be one of these guys we think is going to continue to ascend this season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a couple things here. Number one, yeah, he's unquestionably, I think, the number one target. Does that mean he's going to have the most balls every week? No, of course not. But there's the chemistry that he has with Caleb Williams. And, yeah, I would expect him to continue to improve. He's strong. He's physical. He's got a big catch radius. He's got strong hands. He moves well for a guy that's, what do they list him at, 6'3", 214, I think. Is he a twitched-up guy like a healthy CeeDee Lamb? Or some of these other wide receivers? No, but that doesn't mean he can't be a huge performer. I think it's fair to say he's probably a more polished route runner than DJ Moore. And the ceiling for this guy is a player who can make good on the draft status, right? Who can be worthy of a top 10 pick.
Texter checks in, says, I don't think the electronics can handle all the positivity. Pretty funny stuff. Brad, and this segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for over 100 years, estwing.com. A lot of positivity, Brad. And the question then becomes, can you keep it going? Is this sustainable from what you've seen?
Yeah, I think they go to Las Vegas and win the ball game, right? And then they have a bye. you don't know. Health is such a huge factor in this league, right? I would imagine Jaden Daniels is healthy before the Bears head to Washington in week six. But if the Bears play their kind of football game, they can absolutely be in that game, no question about it. We're going to have to see how they evolve defensively as hopefully some of these guys get a little bit healthier. You're going to look for continued improvement from the quarterback and the offense. Like, the offensive line isn't going to have another game like that probably for a while. I mean, Dallas is just, like, you look at that roster and the two deep, and there's just, I know everybody likes to goof on Matt Eberflus, but he doesn't have a whole lot to work with there. So, this is a team, like Johnson said, I think earlier last week, that should be playing better football in December than it is now. Now, it's been a while since we've seen the Bears playing what would be categorized as good football late in the season, but this bunch has a chance to be the first one in a while.
Brett, I was surprised that Dominique Robinson was in there as early in the third quarter as he was. He got a sack. And then I was even a little bit more surprised. Maybe I shouldn't have been. You tell me. Montez Sweat played in basically 58%, and Dio Dangbo was right around 60% of the snaps. Is that what the plan was? Is that the plan's going to be moving forward, six out of every 10 snaps for those two guys?
I think that's absolutely a week-to-week situational type thing. Had that been a 6-point game in the fourth quarter, I think you'd see different percentages for the starters on that defensive line. That was not anywhere close to a 6-point game in the fourth quarter yesterday. And so it makes a whole lot of sense to put other guys in there because the benefit is twofold. One, you're keeping your frontline guys healthy, hopefully keeping them a little bit more fresh as they enter the week before a road trip, and you're getting reps that the number twos can use to build off of. So if I would be curious about those percentages, if this was a one-score game into the fourth quarter or something of that nature, because it was far from that, I'm not going to think about it a whole heck of a lot. Nice to see Dominique Robinson make a play out there. Definitely a good thing for them to reduce the snap total for Grady Jarrett, who's been wearing a brace on his right knee for the past two games and trying to gut it through an injury. So reducing his workload, certainly smart.
Montez Sweat had a reduced workload. Is that accurate? 58% of the snaps.
Yeah, I mean, I think we gotta learn the new coaching staff, and the sample size is too small to draw sweeping conclusions to say, yeah, Montez is a guy who's going to be 80 to 85% of the snaps or something like that. We need to see more time, but I would think, yeah, that typically and certainly in the past, he's been on the field a little bit more than that, but. It was a runaway ball game after that 19-play drive.
So, Brad, were you surprised, or what was your reaction when Ben Johnson really wanted to distance himself between what he said during the week and the way his team played and how they responded to his challenge?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's an element of me that thinks like, hey, I'm going to let the players have some fun now. I want to try to focus. He probably wants the focus on his players, not himself, I would imagine. And so he doesn't want to dwell on it too much. And he certainly realizes he's going to have to be able to push other buttons in the future to try to achieve the same result. Like, that's not a card you can play with regularity where you come out and you publicly say, our practice habits aren't where they need to be. I think he probably was just hoping that the focus would be on the players, allow them to shine, and then, he can slide out of Soldier Field, celebrate as he wishes with family and friends, and just turn the page real quick to the Raiders, because the NFL doesn't slow down. The pace does not slow down for anyone, whether you're playing well, you're playing poorly, or you're somewhere in between.
Brad, Caleb Williams, you know, 142.6 passer raising rating, four touchdowns. How much better is he getting? And you know, I think it was Pat who said before the game, in the pregame, that he wanted to see Caleb Williams be the reason the Bears win instead of just the guy that's quarterbacking them. And you felt like that happened. But he's gotten a bit better in each game. What are you seeing from him? And I mean, it was far from a perfect game. He bounced a couple passes, but he really had a hell of a game.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is the patience in the pocket. Things have started to slow down for him, especially from the Monday night opener against Minnesota, when he was frenetic in the pocket and he was voluntarily leaving the pocket, you know, when he could have stayed in there or stepped up or slid a little bit one way or the other to make a play, it was no, he's pushing the eject button and he's out of there. So much better in that regard. I thought he ripped some balls into the middle of the field, which he hasn't always done. He was comfortable doing that. It was a heck of a lot better, and they got to feel really good about that he went out and was solid. Like they were going up and down the field. Ben talked a little bit about how he's getting better in the huddle, which, yes, you know, you're like, really? Well, you know, they talked a lot about that back in April and May because it's a big deal and it's taken time. They didn't have any pre-snap penalties. Well, quarterbacks, you know, not always the reason, but it certainly is the reason more often than you'd imagine for pre-snap penalties. Like, it could be a false start on that guy over there, but the quarterback, in some instances, plays a role in why that happened. They didn't have any of those yesterday. They
no sacks allowed.
Themselves in the foot.
And that's another.
Yeah, no sacks, no pre-snap penalties. So when you start, you know, removing these self-inflicted errors, this is what can happen. You can run away with a ball game.
All right, Brad, let's wrap up by talking about injuries. Colson Lovin left with a hip issue, did not return, but was in uniform. Jalen Johnson, the report from Ian Rappaport was he's going to get surgery this week with the hope of maybe coming back. And then Kylie Gordon, TJ Edwards still out.
Yeah, and we haven't seen Gordon or TJ Edwards practice in a while. So when we do finally see them on the practice field, and I don't know if that could potentially be as soon as Wednesday, you would imagine they'll be limited and they want to ramp them up slowly. They're not serious injuries for those guys, or they would have been placed on IR. So I think you're looking at what is their practice status Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week, understanding that on the backside of that Vegas game, there's a bye where they can get a little bit more rest because they need those players back sooner rather than later. I saw Loveland in the locker room after the game. He didn't look like he was in terrible shape, but you know, if you just gauge off of what you saw in the locker room post game, you can make all sorts of errors and guess in what direction an injury will go. Good news, Darnell Wright comes out of the game. Looked to be in significant pain for a little bit with what they described as a right elbow injury. Ben Johnson said they don't expect that to be anything serious.
And then finally, just the running back situation. Swift was on the injury report. He didn't get a ton of carries. They used Manungai in the second half a little bit on that big drive. Brad, where is Roshan? I know he's active. Is he now just a special teamer? And are you surprised? I guess they had to bring up the linebacker. They signed a defensive end. They had to bring up a corner. Are you surprised they haven't tapped into the running back, getting another running back to aid?
I mean, they've got enough to use in these games.
Okay.
I think for Roshan, they've gotten carries yesterday. They were going to need more carries. More snaps. You know, if you push that snap total toward 70 or the low 70s, you know, maybe that's an opportunity for him to get the ball a couple times, or certainly it would be an opportunity for more carries for Manungai. But you know, how you're seeing the players used in the game is what the players are going, or the coaches are going off of from what they see in practice.
Great stuff, Big Z. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune.
Listen to Raheemi Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
To switch, how do you get a flea flicker? It's way up there. Williams recovers. Throws a seed. Has a man. It is caught for a touchdown. Luther Burden is first in the league.
Oh, my God. Ben Johnson into his bag of tricks. Caleb, man in his face, and absolutely unleashes a dog.
Yeah, Tom Brady's all of us there. That's exactly how I felt, too. That was the Fox broadcast. It was their game of the week on Sunday afternoon. And the Cowboys lost to the Bears, 31-14. The Bears won on national television. Huzzah! Perhaps our luck is changing. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
Yeah, the luck is, it has nothing to do with it. It's about the hard work that Caleb Williams has been putting in since day one. He went from the dirt and dust of training camp to what you saw yesterday, which was beautiful, like a statue that's finally been built. Now, there's still some sanding and some other stuff they got to do to make that statue look pristine, per se. But the sculpture exists, Layla. The sculpture exists.
You can't exactly play started from the bottom now he's here, because he was never really at the bottom in his life. The guy knows how to achieve.
Number one overall pick.
Yeah. So there's that.
He started from the bottom with the Bears, though.
So. Yeah. No, the Bears started at the bottom. Yeah. And now they might not be there forever. That doesn't make the lyrics sound any better when I say it like that. I got an email. Would you like to hear it for a second?
Stonecutter?
Because it's a little bit of breaking news. No, I think Stonecutter went away with others from the midday show.
I do like breaking news.
Start it from the bottom. Okay, go ahead.
We'll do it. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Start it from the bottom, another one and two. Bears.
The whole team's here.
Caleb Williams is nominated for FedEx Air and Ground NFL Player of the Week. How do you like that? I got an email from the FedEx.
Who are the other nominees? That's what I want to know, because I think Caleb Williams is going to win.
No
FedEx
other nominees.
Player
it is
of
Caleb.
The week.
Well, it's just nice there, that it's not some, to the opposing team this week.
There's a guy you heard of, Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen.
I have heard of him.
Seattle Seahawks quarterback Sam Darnold, 14 of 18 for 218 yards. And two touchdowns with a 154.2 passer rating. The Vikings game that sobered me against the Bengals, the early game that I was watching, Jordan Mason rushed for 16 times and 116 yards and two touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts. And Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Trey Tucker, 8 catches for 145 yards and 3 touchdowns. But yes, Caleb Williams is nominated as the FedEx Air and Ground NFL Player of the Week.
I will say this. That Jonathan Taylor run, I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but you need to Google that, because his run was special. Spinning, slipping out of tackles, all that. All that to say, Layla, the only person on that list that I was scared of the stats was Trey Tucker, but they lost, so I'm not really worried about him. Caleb Williams is winning it. He's winning that award. It's going to stay with the Bears possibly for the next 2 weeks, Mark?
Clicked like.
Marshall has made a prediction. It got us to 10:30. But I say all of that to say, not only was that performance recognized, but we're asking the question, was that his best performance as a Bear? When I consider that it was his first game where he hasn't been sacked in his career, when I think about how, to his profile, he was able to hit the home run balls. He was able. I asked him that question with you, Mark Grody. I said, what does this offense look like when you're happy? And I think we got as close as we've seen to that happening. And he was like, well, I'm in flow. And you can't describe that. It's not really something you can visualize. But I wanted him to tell us, like, is it Ben Johnson is in his bag? You running fun plays? Like, that flea flicker looked dangerous for a minute with the throwback from DeAndre Swift. But he was able to. Williams was able to make it work. He threw that fastball of a ball to Luther Burden. Burden ran a great route. So what we saw was that there was a ton of misdirection. There were a lot of creative play calls. He got to do a little bit of, I think, what he does best. And then additionally, we saw that married with playing well in structure. So I said, yeah, I think this is his best game as a Bear. What do you think, Mark?
I do think it was his best game as a Bear. I do. And like, I'll give some more reasons. Like, the touchdowns were flashy. I like some of the plays that led up to the touchdowns as well. Like the first quarter, second drive, the 35-yard pass set up by a 31-yard pass to Colston Loveland. Hello, Colston Loveland. Good to see you. I know they didn't connect on that first play. I loved Caleb's 29-yard pass to Luther Burden. That play up the middle. It was a little bit of a wobbly ball, but that led to the Cole Kmet 10-yard touchdown run. And then how about, I think one of my favorite parts about it is Caleb wasn't forcing it. He got it to a lot of different wide receivers, but we heard nothing from DJ Moore until the first drive of the third quarter. That third and 10 to DJ Moore, which eventually led to the 4-yard touchdown pass to DJ Moore, was absolutely beautiful. So I love some of the things that led up to some of the great touchdown throws in this. What I took exception to, though, Mr. Harris, you in specific, this, I think it was his best game. Just the fact that you, in our show meeting, I'm taking you backstage, I'm going to throw it out there.
Take us backstage.
You dismissed it like, come on, there's no other possible answer. And I do remember October 13, 2024, when the Bears beat the Jaguars 35-16, and Caleb Williams was 23 of 29 for 226 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, hit 7 different receivers, 56 yards running as well. Cole Kmet, 5 catches for 70 yards. That was his 2 TD game. Keenan Allen, a 2 TD game. And he did have a 300-yard game in the week previous to that against Carolina, which was the DJ Moore game. So while this was his best game, it's not like by a wide margin. It's not by the margin you were trying to sell backstage.
No, it's by a wide margin. And by wide margin, I mean it's his greatest game, and there's no doubt it's his greatest
game. Why is it such a wide margin?
First of all, you just said it was his greatest game. I want to get you to double down on that.
I never said it wasn't. That was his best game, but it takes a little bit more thought than, come on, there's nothing else.
Here's why it's by a wide margin. I like to call that two-game stretch the expansion era, in which two expansion teams, the Carolina Panthers and Jacksonville Jaguars,
who came into the league at Cowboys the same time. Defense sucked. It's the worst. They gave up 600 yards in the last 2 weeks. So this is a bad, bad Matt Eberflus defense. Worse than maybe the Jacksonville defense.
Yeah, it was the expansion era because they both had teal in their logos. So
yes,
that tells you what year they came in.
Exactly. I remember all of that. I say all that to say this. In those games, he did find himself picking himself up in the backfield because he was sacked. He was not sacked yesterday and really was in little danger of being sacked because he was so on point in rhythm. It's not just about the stats. But if we want to go with just the stats, understand this.
I'm not going with the stats. I watched that game. I watched every second of that game. Don't give me that stat stuff.
142.6 quarterback rating, which is by far his best in a single game. Also, the yards per attempt, 10.6. Also, the greatest number he's put up. You just talked about the fact that he shared it with more pass catchers in this game than he had ever done previously, and he was in command watching him. They had a plan. He followed the plan. The best part about this is he was not off script as much as he was in those two wins that you're talking about. There's a reason he was running for his life and getting 56 yards on the ground. That here he took Ben Johnson's game plan and executed it better than he's executed any game plan in the history of Caleb Williams being an NFL player. That's why it's not close. Plus, no sacks, no turnovers. Can't say that about either of those other two games you were talking about.
Well, the no sacks, yeah, absolutely. But you're completely dismissing 7 different wide receivers.
No,
and you're also dismissing what he had to overcome. Shane Waldron's play calling, Matt Eberflus's head coaching. Yeah, he had to run for his life because of that, for sure. But like, yes, this was his best game, but I still am not sold on the dismissal. Layla, where are you on this? Are you team Marshall or team Grody?
Oh, see how you made it personal?
No, I mean, it doesn't have to be Marshall or Grody. Is it that wide of a margin?
Turn your mic on.
It was on. Oh, I do think that this was his best game. And I believe it because of what we saw. Well, first of all, you said 7 different receivers. Well, it was 9.
Talking about the Jacksonville game.
I know, and it was 9 yesterday.
9. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, he had 2 more. So is that a wide margin? The problem I have is you're calling this a wide disparity, 9-7.
It sounds like you two need to talk this out. You asked me a question, but then I wanted to hear
what you had to say, Layla.
Because I was going to say, I'm like, well, if you two need to keep talking about this.
Go ahead. Sorry, Layla.
No, it's cool. Wow. So I think Also, touchdown interception ratio, right? Four touchdowns yesterday, zero picks. He did have one pick in that game against the Jaguars. We just don't remember it because, well, it was the Jaguars.
Right.
I think the thing we saw in the game against the Jaguars that's probably notable was it just felt like such a relief because we remember Jalen Johnson saying, I got to like relax and know we were playing with the lead and you got to let up a little bit. You didn't have to worry so much. And I will say, I don't think that was what happened yesterday. I think that Bears team yesterday very much respected what Dak Prescott and that team can do. And they started to move the ball so effectively in the fourth quarter, going to that 2-minute offense. You didn't have the same like cushion. You know, it wasn't comfy, as Caleb likes to say. There was still very much a sense of urgency in that game as a viewer or as somebody if you're watching the defense. So to say all of that, I still think yesterday was better because you saw him play under the structure. Like it was so good that you saw trick plays. It was so good that you saw, and frankly, I think it was incredibly notable about the route, you know, the time that the ball spent in the air yesterday. What was it, 62 and a half yards in the air? Tom Brady was incredibly complimentary when it came to that aspect of it as well, because frankly, that's something that not a lot of other quarterbacks can do. That was released by Next Gen Stats. So you combine all of that, like being his best self, it's probably yesterday for me.
Oh, and again, very clear. Yesterday was Caleb's best game. The argument I'm making is it's not by this wide undoing version. Texter says from the 224, it's a victory Monday. Chill the F out, guys. No.
You know, here's the thing. We're going to act how we want to act about this. We're not going to tell you how to behave.
That's all, Layla. He's had that. That's a fun text. It's all.
Yeah,
good.
But you know what I'm saying.
I know. Think, like, of course, I read it because I thought it was funny.
It is funny, but like also, we're going to be passionate about what we talk about every single day.
That's right. Sometimes Marshall and I'll go at each other.
Yeah, and usually
when he doesn't
you're
know
wrong.
What he's talking
this
about.
Be one of those
sometimes he doesn't know what he's talking about. Bears.
Listen, all I'm saying is, Mark, Caleb Williams looked better yesterday than he's ever looked as a Bear. And it's not like another game I was thinking, oh, but maybe that game. I wasn't thinking about another game when I saw it.
Okay.
And then even when I looked back at, I remember Jacksonville, because that was the game where I said, oh, the Bears proved they can beat bad teams. That's all I learned from that game.
Well, then maybe you should be saying the Bears proved they can beat a bad defense.
Nope.
How come you're not saying that today?
The difference is, what I'm saying now is, Caleb Williams can play within Ben Johnson's structure, and that's the most important lesson that I was worried about him learning early in the season, and he's surpassed my expectations three games into the season.
I gave him too many yards in the air. It was 62.1 yards in the air on the flea flicker. Longest completion in the NFL this season, and Caleb Williams' longest completion of his career. Bears.
TDN.
Bears.
Yeah.
The boys might be a little bit over-caffeinated this morning.
I haven't even had any caffeine yet.
The boys are misbehaving today, Layla. Sorry.
And maybe during the break, they need to lie down with a cold compress on their heads or something. Relax. It's only football. Look, we know it's only football.
I'm done with you today, Marshall.
It's in our disclaimer. Yeah, the world can be a stupid place, but we can have fun about sports, which is what we're doing today. Today.
Can we get them to maybe jump in on the fun? Also, Meatball Machine.
Yeah, Meatball Machine, the best of the Meatball Machine is coming your way at 125, so you still got some time to get in some voice messages to the Meatball Machine if you want. This Thursday, by the way, we want to tell you, join the score and Budweiser live from 2 to 6 at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Our show will be at a special time from 2 to 6 because Spiegel and Holmes are 10 to 2 that day before they go to Las Vegas.
Lucky guys. Early shift.
Yes. Yeah. Stop by to register to win special prizing from Budweiser. Say hi to me, Marshall, and Mark before the Cubs game. Groats is with us too. You can tell him Bears. That is Thursday at 2 at Old Crow in Wrigleyville, and it is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. So we want to take your calls. Let's do it next. 312-644-6767. Chime in. Tell us what you think. What was your favorite part about yesterday's game? We'll do it next on The Score.
Loud noises!
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We got a full boat today. We are going until 6 o'clock. Alex is here. Tanny is fed.
What are we serving tonight? Chicken or chicken?
Chicken indeed. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello! Man, that chicken was delicious. It tastes better when it's victory chicken, and I wasn't sure it was a win, till I sat down and had three of the wings you brought from Harold's. Which Harold's?
Hyde Lars? Park Harold's. I walked over and got it from my neighborhood, Hyde Park Harold's.
That was some good stuff.
Yes. Right there.
And I got to say, I have never seen anyone more proud and loving and host-like than you in making sure that everybody got some chicken. You were like walking around, you were presiding over the chicken, making sure that Baby T and all the youngins got the chicken.
Yeah.
Making sure I got a stack of napkins, whatever I needed. Thank you, sir, for bringing and hosting Victory Chicken.
Well, yeah, like you want, and look, we've all been producers and we know that the producers are often broke and they need food. So I always say if hosts are out here eating,
for sure,
producers should be eating, and they should eat for free. So, you know, I wanted to make sure we share a little Harold's. It's Chicago Victory, why not have a Chicago chicken?
That was so much fun.
It really was.
That was like, I just want to bask in it because it was good. And then it kept being good. And then it kept happening. Like, I was expecting not necessarily the collapse, but at least some danger and some tension for a while. Maybe the Caleb step back once they got off script, that kind of stuff. But the vibes just kept being good. And then good plays kept happening. You know when I realized when they came out of the locker room at halftime, and defense had really good energy. Dominique Robinson with a sack on that first defensive possession. And it's like, and the offense had good energy. It was like, oh man, the good things just kept on happening. It was so nice to sit and bask in that victory.
What was really cool about it, and I know that we'll spend more time talking as the show goes on, is, and I brought up half of it. I didn't pay off the second half of it. The 19 play drive was cool. The drive before halftime, mwah.
Exquisite.
Mwah. Because it was what I saw happening there was a team and a coach running through all of the different scenarios, all of the different things that might happen. Of the thing that we can't have happen is them getting the ball back with time on the clock.
Because they had the ball, Dallas did, to start the third quarter. So the double up possibility was there, and they're a good enough offense. They could do that and flip the game in a heartbeat.
So okay, great. We're playing keep away initially, if you're Ben Johnson and the Bears. And then it's like, oh, you know what? We've made a couple plays. Now we're close enough that we can try some stuff to try to get us an opportunity to kick a field goal here.
Uh-huh.
And then it just kind of keeps going from there. And it's that type of, I just really felt like they were engaged in a way that we don't ordinarily see Bears head coaches be engaged.
Yeah, I think, go ahead.
It was just like they were thinking it through and they were going, okay, if this, then this. And if not this, then this. And that's all I want.
Yeah,
I want someone who's ahead of the game.
Yeah, he was ahead of the game and he was aggressive. And he made Brian Schottenheimer coach like reckless a little bit and scared. To the aggressor often go the spoils, right? It's like, and aggression gets rewarded. And Schottenheimer called a timeout he didn't need to call at one point.
And it hurt him. It hurt him. Not
because then they had none.
Calling that timeout was really bizarre.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful. And I gotta say, the whole thing, and you know, Caleb's numbers are unbelievable. He might win NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
I think it's between him and Jalen Hurts, because Jalen Hurts was pretty amazing yesterday.
Oh, in that second half.
But I mean, great. It's great for Caleb. Like, it's all those things, like throughout the week, and you know how you click on stuff or you watch stuff and then you get fed it through your algorithm. So I was getting a lot of like, here's what's wrong with Caleb Williams and here's why he'll never work out and all this stuff. And the story is not written yet by any means, but you look at it and you go, look at all this cool stuff that he's capable of doing. The thing that impressed me the most, the throws are amazing, but we all kind of know he can do the amazing throw thing. Him checking plays to the right play, him moving guys on in the offense, like, hey, you're not in the right spot, go mm-hmm. over there mm-hmm. you're supposed to be over there on this play, him making calls on run plays, like all of this stuff that he threw out there that you go, see, you're capable. And I imagine that that's now, like, between now and Wednesday, what the conversations between him and Ben are going to be like is like all that stuff that I've been telling you that you can do. Now I know you can do it. And now there's no excuse for you not doing it.
The rest of their time together, the rest of their careers together, Ben is going to be on him. And we'll talk about Ben in the next segment. But yeah, man, like here's what I have to admit. I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on myself today because I went so hard emotionally to a dark place these last 2 weeks. And now here we are, and that feeling and temptation to be like, I'm back, baby. I'm all in. Here we go.
Don't do that.
I'm pumping the brakes. I am reining in my own emotional horses.
I am shocked by that.
Whoa, boy.
Breaking news on the score.
And I hate pumping the I hate pumping the brakes. I mean, I hate pumping. Tony Maserati, long time ago, told me to pump the brakes on Chris Bryant. I wanted to freaking reach through the phone and punch him in the face.
How about we change it a little bit? What? You're not pumping the brakes. You're just taking your foot off the accelerator, which more people need to do when they drive.
That's a good call.
You don't have to actually hit the brake.
I can just glide.
Yeah.
I can just glide.
You can just glide a little
Lawrence,
bit.
That's good. Thank you very much. I'm gliding. That's what I'm doing. I'm sliding. I'm just relaxing and letting it go because this is how the league works. It's going to be week to week. And I don't think they're going to go to Vegas and lose, but they're gonna lose some games and look bad at some point in the next couple of weeks. And Caleb is going to have pre-snap penalties again at some point. And some of the linear or the non-linear development stuff is going to come back and it's going to look ugly.
They're going to play better pass rushers starting Sunday.
Yeah.
And that was a big issue on
the road too.
Yeah. You're going to play better pass rushers. There's going to be a better pass rush that's going to speed you up and make things more difficult. But I always want quarterbacks like this to have success.
Oh, dude.
And you don't want to get too crazy because remember, week five a couple of years ago, Justin went crazy on Monday Night Football and threw four touchdowns or whatever it was.
And I rode that roller coaster. I rode the Justin roller coaster really hardcore for a while. And it's nice to feel really good about the possibilities of what Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson can do together, because I felt that way all off season. And then the first 2 weeks, really the first week especially, but some of the second week shook me in terms of what they can do and how far away they are. And yesterday you saw it and you're like, he can still make some mistakes. He can still miss some throws that he shouldn't, but man, they can do beautiful things together and they can win in this league. They're in the league. They can take advantage of moments like that. You got a bad defense at your place. You got a chance to put your foot on their throat. This team can do that. That's great.
And you just take your foot off the gas. That's all. Just you don't have to hit a brake. Don't hit a brake. I mean, we have to brake, but Don't hit the brake.
I don't even have to pump them.
Don't tap them. Don't right. pump them.
I kind of
all
like,
you're doing is if you're gliding, man.
Yeah, that's better than my analogy of reining in my emotional horses. Because no,
that's what keeps me up at night is trying to make sure that all of our horses are fed.
I'll see that you got to feed the emotional horses, and I want them to run, Tanny. I want them to sprint. I just want to rein them in just
like
a little
wild
bit.
Wild horses.
Yeah, man. Keep going.
Couldn't drag me away.
This is one of those days when, like, the mythical score caller that me and my buddies invented a few years ago rears its head, like, hey, how you doing? This is Johnny from the South Side. I just want to talk about the Bears. I had one question. Are we great? Is it possible that we're great? Hang up and listen
to
my answer.
You don't want to trick yourself into that. Let's see how they do against the Raiders, but you should also celebrate what happened yesterday.
All right, guys. Is the Ben Johnson offense so good that it's bad for the NFL? It's a legit question that we should be asking today.
Can I just say real quick, because I know that everyone's been talking about the flea flicker and about the throw.
Yeah.
And I know that DeAndre Swift's toss back to Caleb was trash. His block on that play,
dude,
was amazing.
DeAndre Swift is excellent at picking up the blitz. He's committed. He's got good vision. He's quick. He's solid. And the fact that he was able to pick up a block after throwing that loopy lateral was awesome.
Yeah, that could have been disaster. It wasn't, and it's great. And we should celebrate all of it while keeping our heads. We're just taking our foot off the gas pedal. We're not breaking. We're just taking our foot off the gas pedal.
Uh-huh.
Alex says we should actually break.
Whatever.
We do need to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how your head coach might be a lunatic. Next, here on The Score.